because I was out here being like, oh my gosh, Twitter, oh goodness, Instagram, like these different tools. But there's some places, not everywhere, that now we've gone too far. Like we've adopted all these things, we've packed all these different tools into our courses, and not realizing to see if the purpose is actually happening. We're just busy doing the thing. Like you could argue email is the same thing. Like, are we just professional emailers right now? Like, that's why I love productivity tools like Asana or Slack.
The Digital to Learn podcast is dedicated to exploring both what's new and what's good in the use of technology in teaching and learning.
Our mission is to have the best minds sitting in front of our microphones, sharing evidence-based strategies for digital teaching and learning.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Thank you for joining us. And now, the Digital to Learn podcast.
Welcome to the Digital to Learn podcast. I'm Tiffany Snyder, and I'm here with my co-host, Brad Garner. Hi, Brad.
Hello, hello.
It's going to be a fun podcast today because we have been waiting and waiting to be able to bring you a conversation with Josie Alquist. Welcome to the podcast, Josie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Josie Alquist is a speaker, consultant, and author on digital engagement and leadership. Josie instructs thousands of young adults, educational professionals, organizations, and executives how to humanize tech, use social media with a purpose, and prioritize building engaging online communities. Most recently, Josie published a book, Digital Leadership in Higher Education. She also maintains a lively presence on LinkedIn, Twitter, her blog, and her website, josiealquist.com. Josie earned her doctorate at California Lutheran University with an award-winning and grant-funded dissertation on college student leaders and their perceptions and experiences with social media. We've been waiting for this day where we could bring you a podcast with Josie Alquist, and today is the day. Josie has her own podcast too, so she's used to this gig, but today she's here to talk to us about her new book.
Now tell everybody what the name of that podcast is.
Well, it's Josie and the Podcast.
Love it.
And I call my guests my podcats.
Oh, nice.
Oh my, I didn't even know that. That's awesome. We don't have anything that cool, so we'll keep you on the line after so you can help us think of some more fun.
My podcast Twitter account is mostly cat gifts.
It's
just
wow.
Cat celebrate. There's a theme. Yeah.
Popular right now too.
Are you a cat fan?
I mean, I love animals. If you look at my Instagram feed, it's mostly like kittens and puppies and llamas. So it just kind of fits into.
Okay.
Yep.
I love it. Well, actually, on that note, we did want to take an opportunity to get to know you a little bit better and for our listeners to hear who you are. So we wanted to kick it off with some just for fun questions. And our first question is, what is your favorite children's book?
Well, this got me thinking, right, to like childhood days and my name, because Josie, at least in the 80s, was unique in Wyoming where I grew up. And I honestly had a hard time with it because no one else had it and it wasn't on any bumper stickers or like mugs or thing. I'd run into the gas station looking for my name, always coming out disappointed. So my mom found this book called Josie in the Snow, which probably isn't even distributed anymore, but it's like archived at home and protected because that book was, I could finally see my name on the page. So that was a special book for me as a kid.
Oh, that's awesome. We know you travel quite a bit. Do you have a favorite international destination?
Oh gosh. Sometimes I get lost in thoughts of, you know, like travel, wanting to go do that. I love Greece, the Greek islands. That would be a fantastic place to head back to. I've started to watch reality shows that go to these like glorious places. And so I just kind of live vicariously through these, like Below Deck. That's like my guilty pleasure now. Reality show.
So, I just watched my first episode of Below Deck this week. It is quite an experience.
That is, yes, it's an experience.
All right, Josie, I have to be honest. I've been looking at your Twitter and I took away from your Twitter information that there was a certain just for fun question we just had to have. And that is, we need to know who is your favorite television personality or entertainer?
I do feel obligated to say my husband, who has a YouTube channel called Epic Rap Battles of History. He has been on TV and movies and things like that, that we don't want to like stoke his ego too much, but he's very musician, comedian. And now in this quarantine time, he has become a surfer every single day. And I'm really? Like, honey, whatever makes really? You happy, go do that. He did it before, but now it's like every single day with a group of other improviser comedians out on the water, which I'm sure wow. is hilarious.
So how close are you to the water?
Oh, I mean, in LA, they always say things are about 20 minutes in any which direction, depending on traffic. So I'll give that answer probably.
Well, I also know that you happened to start working full-time in higher ed, and then you made this courageous leap to becoming an author and a speaker and a consultant, and we would just love to hear more about what that transition was like and what your experience has been like in the new gig.
Good question. So I worked on college campuses for about 12 years, and a typical very ambitious student affairs professional, assuming that I would move my way through an organization and become probably a dean or a vice president. And that's also why I knew I would go and get my doctorate one day. Around that same time, though, of kind of moving through my new professional mid-level journey, social media started to enter college campuses, and I saw so much potential for that as a tool for engagement and student community building, which was not always the flavor for an early tool like Facebook. Talking about like my leap, I think starting my doctorate was definitely an instigator of that, because it was almost like I had, well, not an excuse, but I was like, I'm just going to focus on school. And so it was like a tiptoe away from full-time work. And I did have a GA, and that is where I fell in love, just with the ability to research and teach, which in student affairs, a lot of times you're producing so much of the student experience. Sometimes the time and the value isn't there to take a bigger picture researcher perspective. Well, and I also was during that doctorate time where, based on what I was researching, I started to get asked to go speak places about what I was doing. And so all of a sudden, I had this kind of business on my hands. And as it came time to then graduate, as one needs to do when you start a doctorate, I was like, okay, I'm going to pick up some adjunct teaching work, but I think I have enough here to maybe see how this next couple of years would go. I mean, going rogue now, I think it'd be hard to go back. It would take a very special campus that can handle me, which I mean, isn't true. Like, I'm sure I will eat my words on that, but no, it did take a leap of faith, like doing that big jump. But I get excited to also mentor a lot of especially women that are exploring non-traditional options, to know that it isn't just one cookie cutter path. And we do need partners outside of our campus professionals in order to really accomplish and be innovative. Mm-hmm. And so that's a little bit insight into that.
So what was the most terrifying part of that leap? And what was the most gratifying part?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So the hardest people to tell that I was going to leave my job just to do school was my parents. And not they're the most supportive. Like, they would throw themselves in front of a bus to save you, even if they've met you once. They are, I mean, servant leaders to the fullest. And but my family, we come from very hardworking people. I started working the second that I could legally in Wyoming. So working and having that identity was part of me. And there was this thing I had in my mind that I was going to be letting them down, or I didn't want them to worry. And I remember like I went home for Thanksgiving and it was just this big, like an emotional thing. And I start crying and I'm like, don't worry. Nobody's hurt. Everybody's okay. I just need to tell you this big life decision. Yeah. They mean the world to me. And of course they're so, so darn supportive.
So do you think parents naturally want their kids to have a job? So when their friends say, hey, what's Josie up to these days? They can give an answer that their friends will immediately understand.
Well, I think they had already gotten used to kind of stumbling over that, like working in student affairs and the work that I did. So, but the other struggle was also like realizing about health insurance of those logistics. You just realize like, oh my goodness, the benefits that you get at many campuses and then figuring that on your own is a bit bigger of a leap. So, you know, like adulting.
In general, yeah.
The unexpected piece of it, when you talk about benefits even, is when I could travel and speak places, I got to go to so many cool places, but also I got to see family that live in these like nooks and crannies that we typically maybe wouldn't get to as often. So I was seeing my nieces and nephews or a second cousin or, you know, like someone from college that I just happened to be in like this corner of Iowa. So that was neat to like, this is this extra benefit I didn't realize that this would offer with being a speaker out
That's
traveling.
Terrific.
I'm so glad you get that.
So we're gonna talk today extensively about Josie's new book. So I want you, if you're listening right now, stop the podcast. You can come back and listen to it later. Go out and buy the book. Right, Josie?
Yes.
And then once you've read the book, you can come back and Josie will illuminate some parts of the book. The book is entitled Digital Leadership in Higher Education. So when you think about digital leadership, what exactly is that?
Well, it's having a very intentional and reflective process to the way that you use technology. And I use tools like social media as the good Kickstarter to that digital leadership conversation, because it also tends to be the most contentious and personal. And so the strategy, the philosophy I try to give folks is one that includes us as real human beings in the technology conversation, from how can we humanize an email or the way we create a course, to how you show up on Twitter, because the goal of digital leadership is relationships. And unfortunately in higher ed, what we see a lot is a lot of promotions and press releases and a lot of worrisomes that come from these tools. But if we unpack kind of our guiding principles in education, if we can get back to those and the strategies and the ways that we show up on social media, I think we'll find a lot more meaningful. And we'll also find the reason why we don't need to be on certain social media platforms or even technology, because it actually doesn't connect the dots for what our purpose is.
So do you think the technology in some ways has moved us away from those original underpinnings of higher education and we need to get back there using technology?
I think it deserves to be included in the conversation and consideration. So I've been doing this since 2013, this cheerleader of technology and social media. And so I kind of blame myself potentially for the reason why we're here, okay? So, because I was out here being like, oh my gosh, Twitter, oh goodness, Instagram, like these different tools. But there's some places, not everywhere, that now we've gone too far. Like we've adopted all these things, we've packed all these different tools into our courses, and not realizing to see if the purpose is actually happening. We're just busy doing the things. Like you could argue email is the same thing. Like, are we just professional emailers right now? Like that's why I love productivity tools like Asana or Slack, where you know, you can make a thread happen so quickly where that would probably ended up like in 12 emails and four people were CC'd when they didn't need to be, right? So yeah. Some of it's efficiency, but the book especially is about getting super clear on your values and your purpose and who you want to connect with as people. And so, yes, I do think there are some tools that need to be looked at to see, do we really need to keep putting time and money and people into this platform or tool? Is there something else that's actually even better for us? Or am I just wanting to be, for example, on TikTok because I'm getting pressure, but we can't really have a direction or an outcome of why we're even on this thing?
So let me throw a dilemma at you and see how you would respond. And I think this has probably happened to all of us. You get an email and parts of the email make you feel intensely either angry or frustrated or I can't believe they're saying this. So you respond and then that leads to a whole chain of back and forth emails that really don't get anywhere. How do we get out of that?
I bet all of us can look back at a text message or an email that we regret because some kind of emotion got triggered up with us. And that's why I call it also leadership in a digital context, because leadership calls us to be self-aware and reflective. Excellent. And this argument is for students as well, is can we include self-awareness in how we're being reactive to what we see on the internet, from a YouTube video to an email, but then also consciously think about, do I need space from this? What's the best vehicle too? Is it going to be to reply in that Twitter thread? Is it going to be best to actually pick up the phone and call this person? So some of it is that reflective process. And there's a chapter in the book that includes like a half dozen or so leadership theories, and emotional intelligent leadership is one of them. And our own emotional intelligence that is connected to digital tools is an important skill for us as leaders to sit with, because we can get the array of emotions from an email to things that we see and what that is impacting us over time.
Thanks so much for being with us today, Josie. We're going to have you back next week for part two, where our listeners can hear more about your latest book. So join us next week on Digital to Learn.
Thank you for joining us on Digital to Learn.
If you enjoyed this podcast, there are three things we ask you to do. One, come back and join us again. Two, tell your friends about us. And three, give us a positive ranking on your favorite podcast platform.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
It's a digital world.
Always keep learning.